Amen. See that. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you we can gather this Sunday morning, and we truly do look forward to the year 2020, and we do thank you for the past year, God, and we know that we've learned a lot, and you've moved, and you've done a lot of things in the world, you've done a lot of things in our lives, and so God, we just look on you with awe, and then also look to the coming year in awe, God, and thank you for it, and are excited about what you're going to do. So we just want to praise your name, and I pray you just open the word up to us that we could see the depths of who you are and what you're doing and be an encouragement to us, that we would stand strong. And so we just thank you. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would just receive the things of the Spirit to see the depths of what you're doing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to start off this morning in Habakkuk. How about that? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Habakkuk. Says this, and we will be in Habakkuk this morning, so if you want to turn there, this is kind of, we're going to be camp out in Habakkuk. It says in Habakkuk verse 5, chapter 1 verse 5, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am doing something in your days that you would not believe even if it were told to you. I don't know any of you that keep up with the national world events, you know, you could probably say the world's going crazy, absolutely crazy. And for you that are not keeping up with the world events, the world's going crazy. So it's just, I mean, it's amazing. And it's quite perplexing when you look at it. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable when you see all the things that are happening with not any clear solutions. Probably just say not any solutions. It's like fascinating. Well, the thing about it is, this is nothing new whatsoever. And this is the same type of world that Habakkuk lived in. Same world, you know, it's the same world. And he had this distress too. He's like, my gosh, everything's falling apart. I don't understand what's going on. Habakkuk, personally, and reading the book, he was in deep distress because his country, Israel, had fallen away from God and was sinning and disobeying God, and they were suffering the ramifications of that, and so he was frustrated with that. And then also the Assyrians were oppressing Israel, and so you had to deal with that because the Assyrians were attacking them. It wasn't a safe place to live. And on top of that, he knew that God had sent the Assyrians to punish them for not following God. So he's just like, this is a mess. What am I supposed to do here? What's going on? And how do I live through this? And the fact that we're being oppressed by Assyria, and the fact that God sent them. In fact, look at Isaiah 10:5. Or make note of it, Isaiah 10:5. And God says, Assyria, so God's speaking to this heathen country, Assyria, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hands is my fury. So what does that mean? That Assyria was the rod of God's fury, and he was using it on Israel. You know, it's like, well, how does God punish Israel? He said, well, I use Assyria. They're my rod. They're the rod of my anger and my fury. You know, so what the thing of it is, you see, okay, they disobeyed God. So, okay, well, I'll just take the Assyrians and it's the rod of my anger on you. So it's like, wow, that's kind of big, isn't it? You know? And then you've got Habakkuk, you know, he's trying to do right. People are doing wrong. He's trying to do right. And here's Assyria. You know, they're coming in. He's like, I didn't do anything. You know, they're coming here. So he's kind of in this perplexing situation. And so what he does, so that's the situation, okay, that he's in. Israel denying God, Assyria oppressing them. He says, God, what are you going to do? I'm asking you for help. And God answers him. He says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the Babylonians, who are worse than the Assyrians, and they're going to whip the Assyrians. So I'm going to take care of them. Oh, by the way, they'll still oppress you because you're still disobedient to God, Judah. Wait a minute. He's going, you got this bad nation, and you got this bad nation, and you use this bad nation to whip this bad nation to do what you say, and this nation did what you said in the first place. And he's going, I don't understand how this is all working. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, that's what he was saying. When you look at the world and you go, this doesn't make sense to me, that's what Habakkuk was doing. He goes, this doesn't make sense to me. And everything happened just like God said, because about 50 years later, God does send the Babylonians, and they do destroy Assyria. And so Habakkuk says, well, God, okay, you're going to use Babylonians to destroy Assyria. What about the Babylonians? He says, that's okay. I'm going to send another nation, and they're going to whip the Babylonians. Hey, you got this one bad nation right here. You send the other bad nation, whip them. I said, well, then you're going to win this other nation to beat them. And that's what happened. The Persians came and whipped the Babylonians some, decades later. So God did everything he said he was. And he told Habakkuk. So Habakkuk's got all the info here, that these nations are coming to oppress Israel because they're disobedient. And I'm using wicked nations. And they're so wicked, he says, Assyria is the rod of my wrath. And they're so wicked, they use another wicked nation to whip the other wicked nation, then this other one that whipped wicked nation to whip this wicked nation. He says, see, and it all happened. It all happened just like he said. Now, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? God's got this. Now, I'm not, God's, and it all happened just like he told Habakkuk. All, just like he told Habakkuk. And that the center of this was Israel and their disobedience. Now, Habakkuk, he's sitting in Israel, he's, I'm not that bad. Okay, I mean, I'm worse. It's these other guys, but he's in the midst of it. So you see all these things working in the world, and you're thinking, God, you're in all this craziness, you're overseeing it to pull off something you want to pull off. I like what it says in Daniel 2:21. And it's talking about God, and it says, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings, and he sets kings up. How did that king get there? God put him there. I love to put Romans in the book of Romans in chapter 13. I think, yeah, it's chapter 13. And it tells the Christians, says, obey the authorities. Obey the national authorities. That's what he says. Now, the national authorities at the time when the book of Romans was written was Rome. Absolutely, totally godless, perverse. I mean, there's books and books written on how perverse. Now, they're really strong and they were really organized and they the biggest empire the world has ever known. They ran it with an iron fist. And God said, you be obedient to them. But that was like Caesars, that was the people that were persecuting, and that was, ever heard of Caligula? Oh my God, that's him. I mean, and the guy was perverse out of his mind, and he said, no, you do what the authorities tell you. I got this. And you step back and you went, do you really? But so here you have Habakkuk, and so the Lord's message is the same thing. Gosh, Assyria, how can anybody deal with Assyria? Okay, I'll get the Babylonians. They'll do it. Oh my gosh, they're bigger and worse. What do you do? I'm going to get the Persians. The Persians are going to whip them. Oh my gosh, they're worse than the Babylonians. So God is moving this, and you're thinking that, well, what I do in all this mess? I mean, this world is going crazy. Thus, here we are. Okay? It's not any crazier now than it was then. And God is still working. God is still working worldwide. And so Habakkuk asked, and that probably after God told him, he thought, I'm sorry I ask. That's just what he's doing. And so, I think, God, what are you doing? And I think he said, you really want to know? No, I don't. I, if you know, maybe I don't. I don't want to know. So you see this anyway. So you see this happening. Now it's very interesting. The theme question in Habakkuk. The theme question is, he's asking God, says, how can you use all these wicked nations like Babylon for your divine purpose? See, that's you're a holy, good, Wigritha. You're a holy, good God. You take care. And yet, he will use wicked nations for his divine purposes. That's what he did then. And we see that. And we go, God, how can you use this world? Just like he did back then. See? So the encouragement is, God's got this. That's the encouragement, is God's got this. And it's like, well, I don't understand it. Well, see, he says, well, let me tell you what to do. Isn't it good God tells us what to do? He says, now let me tell you what to do. Because you look in this world, and it's falling apart. Falling apart in Habakkuk's time, and it's falling apart in our time. He said, God, what do I do? You're doing stuff I don't understand. Do you even know these nations are bad? Now, surely he didn't ask that. Well, he answers him. Are you ready? Because he tells us what to do. And this is a good verse for you. Should write this down someplace. You know, keep it in your pocket because it's quoted 3 times in the New Testament. Okay. So, but it's Habakkuk 2:4. Here's the answer to the whole thing. Evil nations and us. And God says, see, the enemy is puffed up. And his desires are not right. And all God's with, amen. Those, you know, lousy Assyrians, those lousy, you know, Babylonians, those lousy Persians, those lousy Russians, those lousy Koreans, those lousy whatevers, and those, you know, everybody's causing problems. Why can't people just get along, these lousy Chinese? And he goes, and I'm talking about the evil portion, the selfish portion. He says, see, the enemy's puffed up. All these people are puffed up. The enemy's puffed up. I know they're puffed up. And their desires are not right. Okay, you're right. Many, we've got that. Then he talks to us. Well, he's talking to us there. Then he says to us specifically, this is what you're to do. Ready? This is what you're to do. But contrast with the nations. But, okay? But the righteous person will live by his faith. That's it. That's the absolute, total answer. There is no other answer. There's no sense reading any more books on it. There's no sense doing any more study on it. There's no sense looking for any more theological reason. There's nothing to do but do what he says. That the righteous person, the ones who trust God, will live by his faith in God. Which means, okay, God, I trust you. Syrians are coming. God, I trust you. The Babylonians, God, I trust you. The Persians are God, I trust you. See? That's what he's saying. You trust him because he is doing stuff we can't even comprehend. Now, what we have in Habakkuk, we can look back and God did exactly what he told Habakkuk. He did it. You know, like that. And so, the answer is, we are to trust in God and do what he tells us and have faith in him. Faith is what he tells us and we act on, so we have faith in him. And that's how we operate in this world. We take care of what God's given to us and let him take care of world rulers. He never asks us to take care of world rulers. Now, this is crazy. I mean, my crazy, not God's crazy. My crazy, he says, pray for him. See, it's like, you gotta be kidding. I don't like these people. You know, no, you're supposed to pray for them. Now, so God's revealing what he's doing stuff, and how we cooperate with him is have faith in him and pray for these people. Amen. And so you're going, good grief. Now again, the righteous shall live by faith, or the just shall live by faith, is quoted in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. It's a direct quotation from Habakkuk. Okay, little book, little word, direct quotations, okay? And it all has to do with our trust in Jesus Christ. Now, all these things, the just will live by faith. Now, then we reveal Jesus, we see the just shall live by faith. It's what we know and we trust in God. And so that's a huge verse that we see for Habakkuk that's quoted three times in the New Testament. And so God is saying, I'm dealing with these nations, but your job is to live by faith. That's what your job is. Let me handle the world. Let me handle the world. You just live by faith. Because I am handling it. And see, part of our problem is that, God, this is out of control. You're not doing your job. You're not doing your job, you know. And it's like, no, I mean, what are you going to do anyway? You know, what are you going to do anyway? You can't do anything about it. He didn't say that. I said that. But he says, this is what you live by faith. Let me work the world, and you live by faith. Because I'm getting something done for me. For me. Now, so here we have, and then our thought would be, gosh, God, but look at all the things the world is doing. Look at all the things that are happening. Look at all the things around us, you know, we can get involved in. Look at the world system and how things, what they're producing and everything they're accomplishing, you know. I mean, we got people, they're going to save the planet, you know. So we got to get less people, you know, and save and be more, you know, green, you know, to save the population. And God said, no, fill the earth with people. That's what he said. He said, no, fill it with people. That is a command. It's a biblical command. Fill it with people. But we're going to save the world. And they do stuff like this. And I'm being funny. You know, like I say, well, you can't use straws. We're going to save the world. You can't use straws. Now, I saw a real, you know, guy really into the economy, into the Green Deal and save the planet and all this stuff. And he is a scientist. And he says, you know, that's a feel-good thing. And you're not helping anybody. See, so people try to put us on a trip. He says, I ain't helping anybody, what you straws you're using. It's not that kind of problem. It's way bigger than that, you know. So it's a feel-good thing, you know, it's a feel-good. And so people try to control you with a feel-good thing that's not helping anything, you know. And besides, God says, no, I give you into the world, I want you to fill it with people. Now, take care of it, but I want you to fill it with people. So that's what we know from Scripture, you know. And so that's our basis, that's where we start off with, you know. Now, so take care of it, but no, let's fill it with people because that's his purpose. But look at all the things they're doing, like you said. Don't use straws. That helps, you know. But see, this is all the things the world does. Well, God has a comment. God has a comment about all the things going around us that the world is doing out of their own wisdom. You want to hear it? It's in Habakkuk. Look at Habakkuk. Look at Habakkuk 2:13. I mean, this is powerful. This is what God's telling us, all right? We know something. Habakkuk 2:13, has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that nations exhaust themselves for nothing? That's where they're going without Jesus. Well, we have this plan without Jesus. You're exhausting yourself for nothing. It is fuel for the fire. You see what I'm saying? Now, I mean, I think you shouldn't throw trash out the window and you should pick it up. You know, I'm not a litter bug. But what I'm saying, he's giving us the whole picture of what's going on. No, all these big grandiose things that the world is doing, these big grandiose things to accomplish and to make things right, he's going, it's just fuel for the fire. They're exhausting themselves for nothing. It is not going to work. What's happening? He says, I'm doing something. I am doing something with the nations. I'm doing something with the world. Your job is to live by faith in your situation based on what I told you. And don't worry about it. You see what I said? That's what he's saying. And he's telling Habakkuk. Now, again, we're talking about us. But he's telling Habakkuk, good night. You know, this is not working out, God. And he's telling him, no. understand what these nations are doing. You don't be over, you know, don't be overly impressed. They exhaust themselves for nothing. They're nothing but fuel for the fire. Now, too, this little side note. If you like to look up historical things, which I'm sure a bunch of you like to look up the Assyrian Empire. I know, my wife, she loves to look up the Assyrian Empire with me for like a millisecond. Okay. And then she's done with the Assyrian Empire, all right? She goes, they're dead, they're gone. I don't want to talk about them. But if you look at the Assyrian, it was magnificent. I mean, they built buildings that today people don't know how they built them. I mean, they got like a hammer and a chisel. I mean, and how do they do it? And they had a huge army. They conquered the whole area. They were really brutal. They're the most brutal nation around. You know, really brutal, you know. But they were massive. They settled it. And then Babylon, the city of Babylon, was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And they had records. It was unbelievable. Hanging gardens. It was fantastic what they said. It was unbelievable, you know. They had a code of laws and ruled the people, massive army. And then the Persians had almost more than that. They conquered them. And you go and you can see the ruins, like there'll be a couple of columns left. And you just look, wow, how'd they pull this stuff off, you know. But you know what? The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, you know, they're gone. And you can't, I mean, some of these things they didn't find this until recently. I mean, they're digging in the sand and dirt. To look, keep digging. There's a house down here. There's a temple. And they dig around. They say, wow, look at, see, they're gone. It was fuel for the fire. Those nations exhausted themselves for nothing. Just what it says. Well, what's what it says here? So the nations exhaust themselves for nothing. Now, I mean without God. This is without God. He's telling us, and it's in the context of what? Have faith in me. I'm still here. I'm still doing my work, and I'm still carrying out my plans. Amen? So there it is. You know, that's a great verse, you know. People's labor is fuel for the fire. I can see your kids telling you that. Clean up your room. That's just fuel for the fire, Mom. It's going to be my fire on your butt. But anyway, but you could see that the statement there. Now, in contrast with that statement, he tells us that as long the nations exhaust themselves or not, but it's God who oversees everything. It's God who sees things. And he says this in Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Now, I tell you right now, Assyria is really silent before God. Babylonia is really silent before God. Persia is really silent before God. You see? Now, you see some of these countries flexing their muscles, and they're coming back and doing that, and, you know, different countries around the world, and they're coming back and trying to have a dominance. I'm telling you, the last chapter's been written, and we know what it is. And that's why he's telling Habakkuk. That's what he's telling Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk is still in the jam. I mean, he's wow, okay, man, I'm still here. He says, you just have faith, you walk with me. Let me take care of all this stuff. All right, so there's the communication. And so what we're doing here is we're seeing the majesty of God, and we're seeing that God says our faith, you know, comes in. This is where our faith comes in. The righteous person will live by his faith. That means, and this is what it means, and you go to James and different places in the New Testament see this. He says, when all this stuff has happened, don't be tossed back to and fro. That's what James says. Okay, because we know that God's moving in the world while at the same time directing us. See, he's moving in all the worlds. He's moving these things around, but he's directing us within it at the same time, and he's also protecting us. And, you know, we need to take care of what God's given us and not try to take care of something that only God can take care of. And don't worry about things that only God can take care of, you know. So what he tells us, he said, what are we supposed to do then? He goes, watch. Now he told, that's what we opened up with. This is what he told Habakkuk. And this is what he's telling, watch and be amazed. That's what he said. God said, watch me and be a man. So he's talking big picture, all these things. He's just watch me and be amazed. I'm moving pieces. I'm making things happen. You may not understand it, but you watch and be amazed, because it is happening, just like it happened to Habakkuk. And now here we look back and go, golly darn, it happened just like he said. See, but the thing is that today, well, yeah, it's going to happen just like I say here. I got this. I mean, bottom line, that's what he's telling. He told Habakkuk, I got this. He's telling us, I got this, okay? You have faith in me and what I'm telling you to do today. And, you know, their labor is fuel for the fire, but I'm on my throne in the temple. Back then I was, and I am today. I am today. So just watch and be amazed and stand firm, putting your trust in Jesus, in Jesus. Now, what we have here, well, here, okay, we got the big picture. And you think, oh my gosh. So that's happening, you know, as we go in. But we're not supposed to worry about it, because God's taking care. You know, we're just going to do what he tells us. Now, Habakkuk, what he does, so he sees this, and so this is his big question, is the nations. This is a wreck. I mean, that's Habakkuk's big question. Now, after God talks to him, he goes back in now, and he narrows it down to him. Now he says, okay, God, I heard you. I heard you. And now he brings it back to him. And what he does is very interesting, which is the Bible does a lot. He uses an agriculture picture to explain what impact this has on him and what he's going to do. And what it is telling us what we need to do in this situation. Okay, instead of figuring out everything in the world that we have no control over, you know, that looks like, oh my gosh, things are going to hell in a handbasket. You know, it's like, yeah, but let God take care of that. Here's what I want you to do. And so here's what Habakkuk says, and here's the message to us as we watch and are amazed. Okay, look at Habakkuk 3:17. Through 18. Now, this is how Habakkuk ends this. Okay, he's kind of the same place, what we just shared. He's in the same place. And so he says, okay, God, and this is how he shares. He goes, though the fig tree does not bud. Now, again, it's agriculture. You know, this is an agriculture society. He goes, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, and there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. That's where it goes. It goes right that point. And that's what God wanted Habakkuk to say. You know, he's worried about Assyria and the Babylonians, the Persians, you know. And he said, no, you don't understand. This is what happened. You just live by faith. And he understands what God says, and then he comes to this conclusion. It's not the circumstances around me. It's not the circumstances around me. See, it's not the circumstances that captures Habakkuk's attention. It's the complete amazement that God is present. Amen? That's a complaint. Then, Habakkuk is more confident. He's confident that whatever the outcome, it is in God's hands. It's in God's hands. And therefore, he will rejoice and watch and be amazed, because his hope is from God. Now, again, in an agricultural way, you know, in a way, he expresses this. He continues to express this. He says, so he's going to rejoice in the Lord his Savior. All right. If, you know, nothing buds, if crops fail, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Then he goes on, he says this, Habakkuk 3:19. He goes, and this is the whole point, the sovereign Lord is my strength. See, the sovereign Lord is his strength. By the way, the sovereign Lord, who's the one who's taking care of Assyria, Babylon, and Persia. He's the one that's taking care of Russia and China, and whoever else we can think of. See, you think I don't know what's going on here? See? So the Lord, the sovereign Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet, He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to tread on heights. Now, we today in the, what are we in? 21st century. Same thing. I lose time. We're not in the 19th century anymore, the 21st. So this stuff applied back then to people understood what he was talking about, which is really important. Have anybody in, like, National Geographic? Okay, you watch this stuff. They ever show you these deer running around, they're jumping on these mountains, and they're just, you can't even stand, and these deer will just be running and just touching it on these things, on these mountains, and just nimbly and swiftly just flying out across it. You know, they don't stumble or anything, you know. They're just, so you watch these deer on these unbelievable mountains and stuff just jumping and flying around and planting. They have little fawns there jumping around playing. It's like, good grief, all these rocks are rolling down stuff, and they never stumble. They never thought. So he says, you're the sovereign Lord of my strength, and you make my feet like this deer, and you enable me to tread up on these heights. He says, like, you got all these problems coming out. You got this country and this country and the Persians, the Babylonians, the Russians, the Chinese, the whatever, us, you know. And he says, you're running over all these rocks and things, and you're just like a deer tiptoeing around all these situations and jumping over all these rocks and all things falling apart, and you're jumping over valleys and things, and you're just swiftly just tiptoeing and going through all these mountains, and you go any place and it doesn't bother you. That's what he's saying. See, I mean, we kind of lose that today, you know, but they understood it back then. It's like, no, those problems, those obstacles are not obstacles to those deer because how those deer are made. And he's saying to us, this is not an obstacle for you. It's not an obstacle for you. You know, you're going to tread and go all on this. It's not going to be a problem. You're going to go all over it. Can you imagine a herd of deer getting it? Okay, go here. We're going, there's a big ditch over here, and there's another mountain over here. And we give them, we don't know what this other mountain is. And gosh, I don't know. There's a rock filling there. And we've got all these fawns. What are we going to do? You better watch them. I'm going to do that. I'd be winter and they'd all starve to death before they ever left, you know. They don't think about it. Because they just, whoa, there they are. They're treading on the tops and going around. They have no issues. They're not worried about it. They're not worried about their fawns. That's the craziest thing. You know, this is something that fascinates me. You see, we get little babies. They can't do nothing. They can't do nothing. And you see an animal baby, and it's up with a matter of seconds, and it'll follow its mother. Just up. And then it'll do stuff that there's no way it could do that. It just knows. It just knows. And it's born that way, and those, how those animals work. So you've got here, gives the example, it goes back to these deer, these fawns, they go over it, there's no problem. So the message to us, quit worrying about it. Do what I tell you, live by faith, and you're going to run all over these mountains, and you're going to have lots of fun jumping around. You're going to have these fawns running up and down the mountains. They're going to be having the blast too, see, because they can do that. They're made to do that, and we are made to do that if we trust in God, if we trust in God. Amen? So often we lose that, especially in the Old Testament, when it uses these agriculture things, but they are really descriptive. They're really descriptive to help us understand what's going on. And so anyway, so we are feel good, like where the obstacles are. Man, we're zooming on, we're running circles around these obstacles because we're not worried about it. Why aren't we worried about it? Because we trust God. If we don't trust God, we're worried about it. There it is. See, are these deer worried about it? They're not even thinking about it. And these fawns come in like that, and they just run around behind their mother. They don't even think about it, you know? They don't know any better. Now, so here we've got this whole thing. It's kind of amazing that God enables us to go through all the difficulties before us. And now this is, to me, this is fascinating to on top of all this. So we have this picture, what God is doing. He's telling us to live by faith. He's speaking to us, and we can run all over these mountains. We won't have to worry about it because we're trusting in him, and God's speaking to us, and he's telling us things. Amen? We go. So he's telling us things. look what he tells Habakkuk to do. This is just amazing. He says, this is what you need to do, Habakkuk. Okay, we're into do. Okay, this is the do. Therefore, with confidence, when God speaks to us or shows us his promises, we are told to write it down on paper. Look at this. The Lord replied, write down the revelation. What revelation? What he just told him. What he just told him. Write it down and make it plain on tablets. Yeah, they didn't have a lot of paper around, so they did the tablets, you know. And make it plain on tablets so a herald may run with it. So he's making a specific. You write it down on a piece of paper so like you can give it to the postman and he runs with it. He's got it. It's something you're holding on to it. And also you can tell other people, hey, you know, I'm running around on the mountains today with the kids. And you mail it to them. It's a herald. You write it down. So he's telling us very specific to write down what we know God's doing with us. Not about, oh my God, the Russians are coming, we're all going to die. No. What is God telling us about our life and how we live this life? He wants us to write it down, all right, for us. So we write our promises down so we won't forget and stand strong in all our circumstances because the appointed time is going to come to pass and it will not delay. You ever have something like, oh my God, I don't know what God tells. I'm just so frustrated. You go through some old notes and stuff. Look, he told me here. He told me this here, and he told me the same thing back here. You ever had that happen? Or, man, I didn't know what to do. I had this written down. He told me here about this. See, you wrote it down. You are to refer to it once in a while. Okay, right. So he said, you write these things down. And he says, because then you won't forget. You're constantly bringing back to mind what God said. You know, that's another reason to read the Bible also. And this is why we write it down. Look at Habakkuk 2:3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It's going to happen, but it awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. How many of us quit before we ever get to where we're supposed to be? And it speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it will linger, wait for it, it will certainly come and will not delay. He told us everything we need to know. Right there, he told us. He told us. See? And it's an absolute. And it's like, and many of us, you know, are in our closet with the door shut, scared to death, you know. And all the other deer are out running on all over the mountains having the blast, you know. But those two actions are based on decisions. Those two actions are totally based on decisions. God didn't do it. He told you what we had the capacity to do, but we have to make the decisions to do what he told us to do. Because we can make the decision to go in a closet and shut the door and afraid to come out. It's our decision. Or we can run around the mountains and have fun. You see what I'm saying? And that's what he's telling. And he goes, oh, my God. And he says, I got this. He goes, write it down because you're going to forget. Write it down. Okay. And it's going to come and it won't linger. All right. But it's going to come at what? The appointed time. At the appointed time. See, it's all this. Assyria is going to be destroyed by Babylon. 586 BC. Babylon is going to be destroyed by Persia. 539 BC. It's a point in time. Going to happen. It's going to happen. See? Don't be worried. Walk in faith. So faith means you're trusting God to do what he said he would do. And he has the appointed time. Amen? Well, so we end with that and say hallelujah. And then what we are really watching or amazed about is that our salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ because he came at an appointed time. Jesus came at an appointed time, at an appointed place to do what he intended to do. And he was crucified at an appointed time. And really, then in Daniel and stuff, you have the predictions of Jesus' birth and his ministry to the appointed time. Did you know that in Daniel? If you remember back when we in Daniel, it tells us what the time is, and the time was 30 AD. And he told us in the years, you accumulate, is the point. He said, I told you. See, so, hallelujah. So I don't give you dates and know it's coming. It's the appointed time. Appointed time. God's in control. So we close as this. We watch in amaze. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other name. That's where I'm heading. See, back in Habakkuk, he's telling all this. I'm heading to Jesus. And it's right. And they go, well, there's no other name. Jesus. It's appointed time, appointed person, appointed salvation. Amen. So here we are, and we got the full revelation. So we can lock ourselves in the closet in dark and be scared, or we can run around the mountains and let the kids follow us. Amen. Like that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and that you care for us more than we can imagine. And you are. You're telling us things. You're encouraging us through your word and through the things you have written. And the bottom line is to trust in you. And again, that verse quoted three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. That's all God was telling Habakkuk. And that's all he's telling us. The just shall live by faith. Let God take care of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.